You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Your votes were not just heard loud and wide across the state of Missouri and Minnesota, but they were heard loud and louder all across this country.
The Ninth Circuit of Appeals said to our family that we are equal under the law.
We don't think more arms into Syria is the answer.
Federal agencies have reached a landmark $25 billion agreement with the nation's five largest mortgage servicers.
Jeremy Lin is going to check in. He gets a nice round of applause.
All right, so those are the sounds of some of the stories from this week. A few of those will continue on into the weeks ahead and foreseeable future. So we have a lot to talk about today. And we've got, of course, the best minds in news, right? Our social, political, pop culture experts, Ron Christie, takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist, Jeff Yang, who writes the Dow Jones column for the Wall Street Journal and blogs for our co-producer WNYC's It's a Free Country, and Farai Tadea, journalist and blogger at Farai.com. Happy Friday to all three of you.
Happy Friday.
Thank you.
Let's begin with CPAC, which is going on in Washington right now. The young conservatives, the hardcore conservatives, right, Ron?
I think that's right, but I'm always a little hesitant when you hear terms like hardcore, because you never hear people on the left refer to as hardcore leftists. But I would call it a gathering of conservative activists, people who are very energized, people who are at the grassroots, and folks who are very concerned about the direction of the country. And it's a very fired up group of folks who are
unfortunately,
here.
Ron, don't like Mitt Romney.
Oh, I don't know that that's entirely true. I mean, the governor met with a small group of folks yesterday. He has an opportunity to speak to the group later on this morning. And I think it's an opportunity just for all of the folks who are committed around the country to hear from those leaders who would want to not only represent them in the House and in the Senate, but also to be the next president of the United States. So it's a welcome gathering.
I beg to differ a little bit, just because, Ron, it's hard to believe that conservatives don't have kind of a hate-on for Mitt Romney, given the results on the ground. And, you know, especially this group, CPAC, I mean, you know, I've heard it described as kind of like the right's Star Trek convention. You've got the people who are definitely, you know, out there and, you know, the tough voters, shall we say, on most of the things that Mitt Romney has historically kind of been a little waffly on. So, you know, you'd think that he's not going into friendly territory there?
Well, Jeff, here's where I challenge you. You first said that folks who would have a hate on for Romney, and then said that these are folks who look like they're out of a Star Wars convention. I mean, this is one thing that I have great offense and umbrage to. Conservatives are always being labeled as being slightly crazy, or they hate people or whatnot. These are a group of folks who are traditionally social conservatives, political conservatives, who might have an issue with Governor Romney for some of his past positions, but to suggest that they have a hate on for him, or that there's somehow some sort of freaks for being in a Star Trek convention, I just take great offense to.
Although, Ron,
first of all, that the if I'm getting it right, that the Star Trek convention reference was more about, you know, people who are diehards. And Ron, you know,
people on the left get characterized
all the time. For every time Newt Gingrich says Saul Alinsky liberal, I wish someone would send me a $10,000 check. You know what I mean?
So you never hear conservatives say that Democrats have a hate on, or that they hate their fellow Democrats, or that they're characterized as being weird. I mean, I will not take that.
Two words for you, Ron: Ann Coulter.
Yeah. Look at the descriptions. Look at the descriptions of the Occupy protesters, Ron.
Ann Coulter is one particular individual. She doesn't stand for an entire party. And
you're right.
Is what I take exception to.
You're right.
She has spoken at CPAC. Let's move on. Let's move on here. Because there's a few things that I think could possibly play a role in the election, and I want you three to weigh on it if you agree. I mean, obviously, gay marriage has been very much in the headlines this week, not only with the Circuit Court of Appeals ruling on Proposition 8 out of California, but then Washington State probably becoming the next state to legalize gay marriage, and now some lawmakers in Illinois have introduced legislation there. Farai, do you think that this issue, which is usually, you know, toxic during an election year, could become important?
Well, I mean, it is an important issue. The question is, how is it going to play out? I mean, there are definitely people who are always going to be against same-sex marriage, but it's clear that we've reached a tipping point, both legally and in public opinion. We reached the public opinion tipping point, you know, 2-3 months ago when a majority of Americans said, yeah, sure, same-sex marriage should be legal. And now you've got a state-by-state strategy. I don't think that President Obama is ready to do a national strategy for his own political reasons and possibly his ethical reasons, but it's clear that this is where we're heading. It's the future. We just have to catch up to it.
There's another issue, and I'm going to let both of you guys weigh in on any of this, but the other issue is contraception. And Ron, I especially wanted to ask you about this because some members of the GOP are telling John Boehner and other Republicans not to take up the contraception fight because it could backfire. What do you think?
I don't think it will. I think this was a overreach by the Department of Health and Human Services to require not just churches, but religious-affiliated institutions such as the Catholic Charity to provide contraception, even if that's against the tenets of their beliefs. I think that when you hear Vice President Joe Biden say, I'm sure we can work out a solution, you hear John Kerry say that, I think at the end of the day that the White House will back down from this a little bit. They will carve out an exception, and I think that will take the issue off the table. So I think it was an overreach to begin with, but one which I think that the president will reach accord with the Congress sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I just find it hard to believe that contraception, which is something that effectively is part of our mainstream discourse. This is not something that is new. This is not something that is, you know, kind of a technology that was only invented 5 years ago or something, you know, is all of a sudden controversial in that fashion. You know, and yes, I do understand that there is, you know, a specific religious position here, but you also see that a broad-based number of religious institutions, Catholic institutions included, actually already offer contraception as part of their health plans. And for this to all of a sudden become transformed into an electoral issue, an issue that's used to tar, you know, health reform overall, it seems a little bit ridiculous. Why are people all of a sudden kind of jaw-droppingly surprised, you know, about, you know, condoms?
The law is on the side of offering contraception there, Ron. It's the established law.
The Establishment Clause, of course, says that the government cannot abridge the freedom of speech or the practice of religion. The problem is that the government is saying you will be compelled by the power of the government to provide a service that is against your religious belief, regardless of whether you believe it or not. That's the difference. And Jeff's absolutely right. There might be Catholic charities or there might be institutions that are already providing contraception at their election, their voluntary election, but this is the first time that the government, under the force of law, against the First Establishment Clause and the First Amendment of the Constitution says you will do it under compulsion of law. And I think that's what has a lot of people, and it's not just Republicans, there are a number of Democrats who have come out and said, I think we may have gone a little bit too far. So that's why I think that compromise will be struck sooner rather than later.
Fry, anything to add?
It will be a compromise, but I think that you also have to remember that religious liberties always fall under, in a civilian government, under civil liberties. So if a certain religion were to, for example, discriminate on the basis of race, their desire to discriminate on the basis of race would not trump the United States government's willingness to fight for racial equality. And you saw some throwdowns between certain churches, for example, losing their nonprofit status. I think that when you talk about religion, you're talking about the intersection, of course, of faith, of government, and basically of the civil liberties of the larger population. And there will always be tensions there. So, you know, to me, this is something where clearly there are some civil responsibilities that public charities have to have. And really what we're talking about here are employees of public charities. No one's talking about what Catholics do on their own. We're talking about employees of public charities who operate under tax laws of the United States of America.
Okay, we're going to get to the last thing. And I especially wanted to ask you about this, Jeff, because you've been writing about it. Kind of a good week, bad week for Asian Americans. Bad week because of the Super Bowl ad, which many said was very xenophobic and discriminatory. And a good week because, hey, Jeremy Lin.
Germania. Linsanity. I mean, this is okay. So yes, the Pete Hoekstra ad was pretty horrific. I think Republicans, of Michigan, Republicans, Democrats, people kind of have closed ranks and said, you know, what's up with this? This is kind of beyond the pale. At the same time, you know, you do have the upside that this is the week in which the NBA sort of amazingly found this new star, and it's
from Harvard
of all places.
K4I from Harvard.
That's right.
That's well, and you know, both you guys have had a little Harvard footprint recently, right? You know, the fact is, there's an amazing sense here that this is kind of the jubilee for Asian American sports fans, because there has never really been on a team sport an Asian American who has dominated the real front page, which is the back page of the tabloids before, right?
So well, yeah. Point guard for the Knicks. This is Ryan people. Jeremy Lin, who played at Harvard. It didn't have a guaranteed contract until like a week ago.
It was sleeping on couch of his brother a week ago. Was dropped by multiple teams. And now the guy, I mean, he's proven.
A superstar.
Yeah, he's a superstar. Well, you know, we'll see what happens tonight. I'm going to the game tonight, as are, I'm sure,
lucky you.
Thousands of other people.
We will watch for your coverage.
Yes.
Well, that's something to look forward to on this Friday. That's Jeff Yang. He writes the Dow Jones column for the Wall Street Journal and blogs for our co-producer WNYC's It's Free Country. Fry Today, journalist and blogger at Fry.com. Ron Christie, takeaway contributor, Republican political strategist. Thanks, guys. I'm Celeste Headley.
Thank you.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.